I'm Robin Miller Brecker.
And I'm Karen Lenzer. Welcome to Seeking Center, the podcast.
Join us each week as we have the conversations and weed through the spiritual and holistic clutter for you. We'll boil it down to what you need to know now.
We're all about total wellness, which to us means building a healthy life on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. We'll talk to the trailblazers who will introduce you to the practices, products, and experiences that may be just what you need to hear about to transform your life.
If you're listening to this, it's no accident. Think of this as your seeking center and your place to seek your center. And for even more mega inspo, sign up for Seeking Center, the newsletter at seekingcenter.app. Karen and I are obsessed with any and all ways that will help you live your most fulfilling life. And today we're introducing you to a kindred spirit who has found a way to bridge the tangible and intangible in order to help you attain whatever you most desire. Alexa Fisher is the creator of the goal-setting, wish-granting jewelry company, Wish Beads, and author of the book, Wish Work. She's also an online educator, coach, and speaker whose work shares the common goal of helping people go after their dreams, build their confidence, and break free from fear. There's ritual, there's practice. You have to get clear about where your soul wants to go. We're going to talk all about it and give you the resources to begin to truly transform your life. Let's get talking. Hi, Alexa.
Hi, Alexa.
Hello. What an absolute delight to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a wish come true to have you here,
Alexa. That's right. Speaking of wishes, how would you define a wish?
For me, a wish is like a whisper from your heart. It's gentle, it's kind, it is almost beckoning you to see what you desire and be inspired to finally take action towards it. That's for me the way that when I imagine what I really want, it almost has that childlike excitement to it. And I think, yeah, that's why I find that there's so much joy as part of the process with Wish Beads.
Is that the way you've always defined a wish?
No, not at all. I think I was like everybody else that sort of thought about wishing when it was time to blow out my birthday candles. And maybe I picked something or maybe I didn't. And I blew them out and I never thought about it again. In fact, I wasn't even someone to throw a penny into a fountain because I was like, feels like throwing money away. But what happened was I really have always loved people. My first career was as a professional actress and on stage and in Los Angeles on TV and film. And I felt that with people, I would watch them get in their own way. I would watch them have a lot of ideas or notions about, let's say, celebrities, for example. And while they may put a celebrity up on a pedestal, they would simultaneously put themselves down. And I was like, what's wrong with people? So a pivot from my acting career ended up taking me to teaching people how to step into their lives as if they were the star of their own life. If you were really putting what you wanted to put out there in the world, if you were helping yourself unlock your own light. And what I found was, is that a wish was actually no different from a goal, which is actually ironically no different from what an actor, a character wants in a play or a film. Because if you're playing a character in acting, you have a goal, you have an objective, and you want that thing. And then the drama is in when, you know, the obstacles that are keeping you from getting that goal. So when I transitioned to confidence coaching and communication coaching, it was the same thing. I would say, what's your goal? What do you want? How do you want to express yourself? What fear is stopping you? And so truthfully, I think that a wish is almost like a much more playful version of a goal. It's still rooted in the question, what do I desire? What do I want? How do I want to feel? And then it's the spark that moves you forward.
And how did you go from training to be an actress to pivoting that career? And what was that moment for you that made you question, what am I doing? Because Karen and I know you spent a long time training to be an actress. What changed? What was it for you? Was there a moment or was it moments?
Absolutely. There definitely was a moment. And it's actually been captured on an episode of the TV show Bones because it happened as an epiphany while we were filming. But yes, there was an actual moment. And you're correct. I did study both in undergraduate at Northwestern. I went to the Yale School of Drama. I took my craft very seriously because, again, I loved it. And I loved the idea of breaking apart a character and stepping and embodying their personality, how they dress, how they walk, how they talk, but also what they wanted. And that really is at the root of the training that I got at Yale. And since one doesn't really have a job anymore in the United States as a regional theater actress. Inevitably, a show that I did at the Mark Taper Forum called Glimmer, Glimmer and Shine in Los Angeles. It's where I met all my agents out in LA. And they were like, of course, you're here. Why don't you start doing TV and film and commercials and all of that? So suddenly I was in the business of being a professional actress, and I found myself on set working long hours and having fun. And of course, TV and film is very different from theater. You're doing pits and little sections of a script at one time. You're waiting around a lot for the lights and the set and the other actors. It takes a long time. But truthfully, as I mentioned earlier, it really pained me that even though I was inside the industry with a front row seat and meeting and working with celebrities, some of whom were fabulous and some of them whom were not so fabulous, some of whom showed up at the makeup trailer literally unrecognizable to me until the team of professionals did their face and their hair. And then I was like, oh my God, I recognize you now. And that's fine. That's part of the industry. But if you're on the outside putting yourself down because you don't think you're beautiful enough or thin enough or famous enough or whatever, I was like, it's an illusion. It's all an illusion. They're just doing their job and they have many people around them. And I know based on your backgrounds, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it began this inner dialogue for me, which was, what if people really understood that they are the star of their own life? What if they really embrace the fact that they have all the light that they need to light up a room, to light up the stage, to really shine? And so I was pondering this and also questioning my choices as a professional actress, because I felt like there was a lot of wasted time, and time for me was a commodity. And so I found myself 13 hours into a shoot of an episode of the TV show Bones, and I was playing a lawyer and something bad happened to my character. I was guest starring on the episode, and we were filming in the LA Times building on some of the vacant floors, which nobody knows that. And I'm lying on the filthy floor because something bad happened to my character and I have fake blood coming out of my mouth. And I'm laying there because that's what was called for. And I literally was waiting for maybe an hour, like for lights or sound. And I'm just like, whatever, I'm just laying here like a dead person. And I had what felt like a panic attack, like the reckoning of, dear God, what am I doing with my life? I have worked so hard for what actually looks like success on the outside, but on the inside, I'm not sure I want to do this the rest of my life. I don't find it meaningful. I don't find the exhilaration of a live audience wasn't there. I don't know. I just panicked. And I said in that moment, please give me a sign. Please, universe, God, whatever. What the heck am I supposed to do with my life? Because I'm pretty sure this isn't it. And there literally is a moment on TV where you can see me laying there.
I now need to see that.
Yeah, I will send it to you. I have it. But what was beautiful is that when you ask, you do receive. When you genuinely ask. And 2 days later, I'm in my car in LA traffic, and I get a phone call from my friend Tamara, who was a makeup artist that I had met on the set of a commercial. And we hit it off. And she had opened up a new avenue of business where she was up-leveling women who were professionals who wanted a new look. They wanted to just a makeover kind of thing, but she was helping them on every spectrum. And she said, I really need a media trainer. And I have a high profile client. She's doing a big speaking conference and she needs somebody to help her really shine on stage. And without thinking, I was like, yes, let me add her. I know that I have trained my voice, my body with intentions, identifying obstacles. I knew that I could translate what I learned at Yale and empower people, whoever they were. And that one opportunity led to her asking if I would MC the event. And then she's, you should have a website because people may want to hire you. And I was like, okay. And I just started building things. And I believe it was before I worked with her, I was like, I really need to refine my curriculum. And I took a video camera. I put it in the room above my parents' garage. And I literally mean this. I'm a grown woman with children at the time. And my parents had a vacant space and I needed them away from my babies. And I sat there and I spoke what was my first online course because I wanted to solidify what was my methodology. And it ended up being a course called Speak Up, Stand Out. And it examined your mind, your voice, and your body. And I built that curriculum from my own methodology and I used it with her. And then I published my course shortly after. And then to date, I probably have, I think when I last checked, about 185,000 students around the world who have taken a dozen online courses with me in and around public speaking and communication and confidence.
Wow.
It's crazy. So it's like when a door opened, I just was like, okay, let's go on this next chapter of this adventure. Cut two. So of course, and I overlap everything because I'm not crazy. So I had started this new chapter of my career. I told my agents what I was doing. They're still sending me out. I'm still going and doing things. But on the side, I am also making online courses, taking clients, doing workshops, building this up until that was so solidified that I basically told my agents, you know what? This is my life work, unless it's something really fabulous. And I have friends who are casting directors who call me in, but I'm really going to be transitioning from Alexa, you have to be at Warner Brothers in 3 hours and drop everything and all of that. I just closed that chapter, fully stepped into the other chapter of my life. And then I know this is the part where people are like, really, is this real? But legit, this is real. I'm going about my career, totally happy, not looking for something new. And then in the shower, I had the entire download for Wish Beads. I heard the name. I saw an intention setting experience. So thus taking your goals and wishes and dreams, writing them down in detail, rolling them up on paper, gluing it, and creating paper beads with your wishes inside. That was the first signature idea. And it literally came to me in like a holographic, instant wackadoo moment. And of course, the entrepreneurial side of my brain thought, there's no way the name Wish Beads is going to be available. And of course, running out of the shower and like my towel, I run to the computer and it was. The trademark was available. Wishbeads.com was available. And I was like, okay, universe, you have a new adventure in store for me. And you know that I'll do it. So let's go. And then my next chapter started.
Wow. I love this story so much, Alexa, because it goes from literally you laying on the ground playing dead.
Right. Playing dead, dying inside, frankly.
Literally. Yeah. It's such a great analogy for people. But I want to ask the question though, what do you think made it happen? I think everybody has this idea of, oh yeah, a wish. It's so lofty. It'll never come true. What in your mind has to happen in terms of a wish for you to go from being on the ground to being so open and so fulfilled and so able to receive this great information that you got?
I think it goes back to redefining the way that we've traditionally felt about wishing, because you can make a wish and blow a dandelion and then the dandelion goes off into the wind. And there's something really beautiful and simple about that. And I don't want to take that away completely. And especially if people really anchor a wish in their heart and blow out their birthday candles, all of that is beautiful. For me, and maybe it's because I'm a Taurus and I'm grounded and I like do hard work, I felt like what was missing for me was the word work. And because I like the feeling of having a goal, doing something and accomplishing it, that is satisfying to me. I saw the movie The Secret many moons ago, and there was a moment that really rubbed me the wrong way. And it was this moment where this gentleman was sitting in a lazy boy chair and he had this wish or desire for a red Corvette. And the idea was he would put it on like a vision board and then just chill in his chair and then like it would magically appear. And I was like, I just don't know about that. Because in my purview, you have desires or wishes or goals or dreams, and then you do something about it. And that something doesn't mean blowing up your life and quitting your job or leaving your spouse. You can just take consistent action. And it's not as if that I got that download in the shower and I was off to the races. Not at all. It began like things begin. It was a whisper. And then you take some action where I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to go get the domain name. That's easy. I can throw $5.99 at this idea. I was busy. I was a mom. I was a professional. I was running my own company. But then there are moments. I think it was Oprah that talks about like the tapping on the shoulder where you get a tap and then you say, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
So I was honoring the whisper. I was taking some action. I was noodling this idea and going to craft supply stores and figuring out what the prototype looked like. I was having girlfriends over and we were playing around with this idea. But then something happened that I think is really significant. Oh, before I go to that story, I want to tell you time. I think we have a very strange relationship with our expectations of time because people think I want it. And if it doesn't happen in 30 days, it's not going to happen. Or if it doesn't happen by the end of the year, if it doesn't happen, time. And I will tell you, for things like your life's work or a contribution you want to make to the world, it takes time. It takes time to learn to, even if you have a hobby. I love ceramics. I took a basic wheel course, but to get really proficient in throwing a pot on the wheel, it takes time to learn how to play guitar, time and effort. So with wishing, that's part of the teaching, that give yourself the benefit of time, consistency, but time. I was going about devoting some time to prototyping this idea, to talking to people about it, to just keeping myself open. But then something happened because the universe probably had their arms crossed. Okay, Alexa, let's go. I think this is a good idea. And I attended Oprah's Super Soul Sessions.
Which I was at,
which is so nuts. So
I
cool.
I was there.
You were there. You probably have better seats than me.
I was behind the scenes.
Yeah. All right. It was 2016.
Yes.
I had gone with my girlfriend, Liv, and there was a number of different speakers that I was absolutely delighted and ecstatic to see, including Oprah. But India Arie took the stage and she explained that we were going to have a songversation, that this song was going to invoke a conversation of sorts. And I was all down with that. And she sang an acoustic version of her rendition of I Am Light. And I say this and I get full body chill because it was that song that activated a full body yes in me. It was like a bolt of lightning that I knew in that moment that wish beads were actually a vehicle for light. And it was a vehicle for people to become and embrace their own light, to reconnect with it. I knew in that moment that there was an obligation that I had to myself, to whatever this adventure was going to have in store for me. And it wasn't this feeling of joy. It was a feeling of urgency, real urgency. And I turned to Liv afterward and I said, that's it. I have to do wish beads. And she's, oh my God, just settle down. I was like, no, I got the message through the song. I have to do this. And it was real. It was a real feeling. And it took me 30 days, but I launched a Kickstarter campaign in 30 days and then raised $25,000 the following 30 days of the campaign. And I launched my company. Yeah. And Wish Beads has since evolved from that initial bracelet making kit to an intention setting jewelry line using gorgeous semi-precious gemstones, and where you write your wish on a tiny piece of paper and you roll it up and you tuck it inside the cylinder. And then in 2019, because I was committed to teaching people really about the process of wishing, I had my book Wish Work published, which is a 21-day journey, which is not that your wish comes true in 21 days, but that you develop a new relationship to your wish and to yourself in 21 days by making really simple steps to bring your awareness to whether it's coincidences or to build momentum by telling your wish out loud or putting something related to your wish in your calendar 6 months from the day, so that you are developing this relationship of keeping your wish top of mind and you're taking action and you're developing a relationship with it in addition to seeing your wish on your wrist every single day.
Which is the key. Yeah.
That's the key.
Reminder that it's there. And we should tell everyone this book that you wrote, I love it because it has so many big ideas simplified in them and gives people the, what do I do with this bracelet? Yes, it's great to have it on my wrist as the reminder, but what are the other things that I can do to affirm that wish and really make it real and tangible and something I can really feel and experience? And I love the fact that you named it Wish Work, because one of the things that Robin and I talk about all the time is exactly what you said. It's yes, visualization is wonderful and feeling into the idea is fantastic, but you do have to take the time to actually do the work to get you there. And this book is such a lovely, simple, it's like 100 pages.
Companion. It really is an easy companion. You look forward to looking at it every day. The whole experience of Wish Beads is brilliant. And it's actually very needed in our world. And I just want to go back to that shower moment, because I know I've had those experiences and Karen's had those experiences. The shower is a big place of inspiration flowing through you. I'm just curious, at that time in your life, what do you think the allowing for that to come through was?
I don't know if there is a set of circumstances per se. I think that I'm a deeply curious person. I'm also a meditator. I do meditate. And I think that meditation, it's almost as if it is a shower for your nervous system. So you talk about everybody is intuitive. Everybody is psychic in a way. But when we can develop a practice where we are diligently quieting our minds, we are allowing ourselves to be vessels to receive whatever it is we're meant to receive, whether it's an intuitive hit to maybe not go down that dark road or to not hire that person or whatever that intuition is, or the intuition that tells you, reach out and call your friend today. We are energy beings. And I think that a combination of my curiosity is one piece. I think a combination of me being a meditator is probably something that left my channel a bit more open to receive intuitive hits. My friend Tamara does call the shower God's phone booth.
Because, I love that. It is.
Because for me, I literally, now at this point, I actually ask a question before I get into the shower.
That's brilliant.
Because you are cleansing, not just the physical cleansing of your body, but you are cleansing also. Water is a very wonderful neutralizer. And so you are washing away some of that negative energy that we're picking up all the time because we live on the planet. And so in my life, I have no idea, because at that time, again, two young boys, busy life. We're all flying by the seat of our pants. And I think that sometimes an idea is going to come to you and it's never the perfect time. Literally, I think there was another part of me that's, seriously? I have to create another business? Because once you know it, you can't not know it.
I agree.
So I can't say that I felt like, oh, this is so magical. And I'm constantly birthing new things, as I told you before this podcast. And so there is this combination of really having to be very strategic about not chasing every idea that comes to you in the shower, but where does this sit back strategically and make sense in your life and in your life's work? And so for people listening, it's like, where can you mindfully put yourself to be the receiving end of that energy? What is that for you? Is it ecstatic dancing on the beach and saying, Santa Monica, which is, they're doing that now, which is super fun. Or is it a yoga class? Is it in nature camping with your family? Is it going to, I had an amazing workshop that I went to with Cheryl Strayed and Liz Gilbert, and it was just like 50 of us. And it was nuts. It was so awesome. And so you have to also find yourself, even if you're connecting with people online, this is the way that you can get to a place and find that group of individuals that are lifting you up, that are saying, I see you, I believe in you, drink from this energy. And I find myself that part of my life, I prioritize those group experiences, whether they're online or in person, they definitely lift me up. They're like nectar.
You're following and you're finding that frequency.
Yeah.
And exactly. When you find that like-minded frequency, it lifts you up.
It does.
And that's what I think that song, which we will link to, because I know we put it online back in the day when I was at Oprah.com, so I'm sure we can find it. But that song is frequency.
It is.
So in that moment for you, it was both, I believe, it was the frequency of the song, but it was also, in addition to what Karen was saying, it's the frequency of the energy around you.
Yes. And so I will intentionally build products and experiences that are high frequency. Like, I agree with you, because whether somebody knows that term, if they feel it, if they touch it,
exactly.
You can't see this because I know it's audio only, but people, there's a business advisor that I have, and she and I got together and she's, your box is nicer than the Tiffany's box. Like, from a business standpoint, you have made it too nice. And I really have a hard time not making it as nice, because I think that there is a vibration to the presentation of your wish beads that should feel like a treasure.
It does. Your packaging, I hope everybody buys one for themselves as well as buys it as a gift for somebody, because everything about it, the actual bracelet, everything about it is special. So you're making that wish work special.
Oh, good.
It feels like the beginning of something too. Like, I feel like when I got mine, it wasn't just something I was going to wear as an ornament. It just felt like very important that it has this cohesive experience along with it. Just, and it felt, I know what the word is. It felt like a promise. It felt like a promise. Yeah.
To yourself. So let me ask you, I want to just turn the tables for a second, because this is one of the things that I'm curious about, because it's true. And yet sometimes there's a little bit of an intimidation. And I've had more people confess to me, I haven't put my wish in there yet. And I said, there's no genie that's only giving you three wishes, or this is the only time you get to wish. In fact, inside the packaging, you get a little packet of wish papers and you get five, because I'm assuming you're going to have one wish come true and then you're going to write another one. So what was that experience for you both when you received yours? Did you have that moment where it felt a little intimidating? What is our big wish?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Or am I going to write the right one in there? Am I going to phrase it exactly the right way? Yes, there was that moment.
Oh, yeah, we actually discussed it. For us, it's a joint wish. So in this particular one, we of course have our own separate individual wishes too.
Yeah.
But we have a joint wish. And so we came up with wording and so forth.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah, my business partner and I with another company, we have one for ourselves as well. So that's cool to do it together. I would love to, and I know we talked about this, and if you're open to it, to just do a little bit of the process together on the podcast, because I like to tell people that wish beads are not magic. There's nothing actually magic about an object. What is magic is you. You're the magical thing. And so the way that wish beads begins, and I'd love to do it now. Why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's a guided visualization. So sometimes you can have a conscious wish, like the two of you came up with wording, you're doing a shared vision for your company. That's awesome. Beautiful. The other way to wish can be, I want to actually preface something. There's a great tendency, especially women, that we have to wish for somebody else. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. You cannot make someone else's wishes come true. That's their job. And you wouldn't even want to rob them of that experience. So wishing is actually about you. And so this wildly, deliciously self-full thing, not selfish thing, begins with you and your heart's desire. The way that I'm introducing wishing into the world begins with a visualization. And if people haven't done that before, it's a way to just activate your imagination to see and feel and imagine a moment where you're already living your wish. And it may be related to your career, or it may be a moment that has nothing to do with your career, but ironically might help your career, because it's just a way to get a window into what your soul deeply desires right now. And by seeing it and naming it and touching, just connecting with it, activating your senses around it, you can begin to gain invaluable insight, not only about what you're ready to create in your future, but what details you can bring into your life right now. Now, not everybody is visual. So even as we do this exercise right now, and for anybody listening, I would definitely suggest not driving. Like, this is actually something that you should put a placeholder in, come back when you can quiet your phone and be in a quiet environment. Definitely don't do this while you're driving. But essentially, you're given an experience to quiet your nervous system and to go within and just imagine. And if you can't imagine it, that's okay too. You can write. And I don't know if you've ever done automatic writing, but you can write without stopping. And you just begin to exercise this feeling of, what am I longing for? And I've been surprised over and over again at my own visualization. And it's usually me very quiet, usually me reading or at sunset. I'm in a very beautiful environment. This is not something that I recognize from my life right now, but now I intentionally bring into my life, probably because a part of my being needs to slow down. Really slow down. And by slowing down, I just exercise a different way of me showing up in the world, which ironically will help my life in all aspects, including my career stuff. So let's do a little guided visualization now. This is the step one in the wish work. For people who want to listen to this recording with music or another time, I can provide a link for people to sign up. You can get the wish work straight to your email inbox, but let's do it right now. And for both of you, I would say set your intention really to have this be personal. This is just your own personal journey. This is just for us. And my only suggestion is to not judge the experience, meaning that if I prompt you to see something and it doesn't happen, that voice that says, am I doing this right? Oh my God, I'm not doing this right. Just let those words wash by like they're just on a river passing by you. Don't engage with them. Don't continue the conversation. Witness the conversation and then listen to my voice again. So just get comfortable where you're seated right now. We're going to close our eyes. This is a really natural process. This is just a very easy, calming, centering experience. So close your eyes and just get comfortable in the seat where you're seated right now. For anyone listening, my suggestion is to sit up instead of laying down, as our bodies are just trained to fall asleep when we're laying down. And this is very much an experience that you want to activate your imagination. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're just going to bring our awareness to our body and taking a deep breath in, soften your belly and allow that breath to drop in. And then audibly exhale on a sigh. Woo, feels good to sigh. Let's do that again. Taking a big, deep breath in, allowing your belly and your back to expand, softening your belly and your torso, and then exhale audibly when you're ready. Just letting go of any unnecessary stress or tension. We're just bringing our awareness back to our home that is our magnificent body. And then ever so briefly, we're going to just invite you, I'm inviting you to just scan your body for any areas where you're holding tension. Let's start at the top of our head and almost imagine that there's just this warm golden light showering down from high above your head, and you're going to allow this warm golden light, like a gentle shower, to release any tension that you may be holding in the top of your head, your face, your forehead, your ears, your jaw. Send that golden light to these areas of your body and just allow the light to soften any tension you find you're holding in your mouth, your throat. Ooh, the tops of your shoulders. See that golden light releasing the tension in your shoulders. Imagine this light now moving down your arms, your elbows, your wrists, and your hands. For a moment, let's send that light to the palms of your hands and send some gratitude to all of the things that you have created with your hands in your lifetime, all that you have touched, built, created, expressed with your hands. Just take a moment to feel the gratitude and the light in your hands. And now send this light down through your spine. Imagine this light moving down your spine, wrapping around your rib cage, and sending light all throughout your torso to all of your vital organs. This light is nourishing you on a cellular level, sending you exactly what you need. This light is now moving down through your pelvis, hips, moving down through your thighs, your knees, your calves, your ankles, and your feet. Picture all of this light at the bottom of your feet right now. And with your feet connected to the ground, imagine this light is now moving, dropping to the center of the Earth's core. Picture your light dropped to the Earth's core right now, connecting with the energy, actually very special crystals that are there. And now allow whatever light from the Earth's core is just right for you, allow that energy to come back up through the Earth's core, all the way back up through the bottom of your feet, your ankles, your calves and knees, your pelvis and torso. This light is now moving up your spine, through your neck, your head and out the top of your head, extending high above you, all the way from where this golden shower of light came from. You are this magnificent vessel of light. Feel your light right now. And now let's turn your attention to the center of your chest, roughly in the area of your heart. This is where your heart energy lives. And picture your light as this beautiful ball or orb of light in the center of your chest, and it can be any color you wish. Imagine this orb of light, your light, right now. See its movement, whether it's glistening or twinkling. See its radiant light and its very specific color right now. And with this next inhalation in, as you breathe in, picture your ball of light grow in intensity, getting brighter and brighter. And as you exhale at your own pace, see your light expanding from you. And then once again, when you're ready, taking a big, deep breath in, imagine that your ball of light is growing brighter and brighter still. And as you exhale, your light expands. And once again, taking in a nice, deep, soft breath, picture your light growing brighter and brighter. But as you exhale this time, your light shines a beam of light shooting out from the center of your chest like an old-fashioned movie projector. Your light is shining on a screen in front of you. Picture your light shining on this screen right now. See its colors dancing across that screen like a movie that's out of focus. Just picture that light moving across that screen right now. And then slowly, an image comes into focus. Picture that image getting clearer and clearer. This moment is of you at some point in the future where everything feels just right. This is you living your wish, one of your wishes, and allow that movie, your movie, to come into focus. It may start with a single color or an object. Awaken your curiosity to your movie right now. And then, almost as if pulled with a giant magnet, you find yourself drawn, walking closer and closer to the screen in front of you, until you are so close to the screen that you actually step inside the screen. You are there right now in this movie where everything feels just right. Be there right now. Awaken your senses to this time and place where you're already living your wish. Where are you? Notice one detail
right now. There you are, looking around. What time of day is it? Notice the quality of the light from the sun. If you can see it, notice that now. What do you hear in this time and place? Is there a particular sound that you notice? Notice that right now. Looking around, allow yourself to reach out and touch an object nearby. What do you touch? What can you feel? Notice that now. What color is that object that you touched or you discovered? Is there a tiny detail that you can notice about it? Notice that now. Turn your attention to yourself for a moment and notice, what are you wearing in this time and place where everything feels just right? What are you wearing? Notice that now. What color? What fabric? What shoes do you have on, if any? Allow yourself to wander if you feel called to, and see if you can look around and see what's to your left that you hadn't noticed before. Notice that now. And now turn your attention to how you feel. What three adjectives would describe how you feel right now? Name those adjectives. Now, this special place, this is yours. You can actually come back here anytime you want, just by connecting to the light in the center of your chest. But before we come back to this time and place, commit to memorizing, to remembering as many details as possible, what you saw, what you heard, what you touched, how you felt. Drink them all in. And then lastly, go ahead and turn around and notice something that you hadn't seen before. Notice what's behind you. Now, taking a deep breath, we are going to slowly bring our awareness back to our bodies and back to the time and the place where you are, trusting that you can return here anytime you want. Slowly, I'm going to invite you to wiggle your toes, wiggle your fingers, feel your body in the chair, and then slowly flutter your eyes open and come back to your room.
Wow, that was magnificent.
So good. I totally lost track of your voice, which is to me like the best test of someone who's a very good leader of a meditation. And you were right there. I loved it.
Awesome. So were you able to, or do you feel comfortable sharing some of the insights that you saw? Because usually it's surprising. It's not what we think we want. It's a different kind of wish.
Robin, you want to go first?
Sure. It's interesting. something, because before you said go into the future, and when you were saying to project your light onto that screen, I actually saw a mini movie of my little self. I was able to see my little Robin growing up in certain moments that I haven't thought about in a really long time, and being very free and very happy and full of joy. And then when you said project yourself to the future, it took me to Sedona, Karen. Did it take you to Sedona too?
Hey, do you want to know what's crazy?
Enchantment. So
you know what's crazy?
That's where I was.
I was totally in the desert. I was like, I'm normally never in the desert. I have like chills all over. I was like, this is different.
I was in enchantment.
Were you on the overlook looking out at, oh my God.
I was looking at the desert. I can't, Karen.
Okay. So I don't want to go into what I was like. Oh, you're bringing up so many interesting things. Okay. I don't always say in the future, but to everybody listening, it's a tricky thing. It's not tricky. You have options for some people and for anyone, because you can do this visualization literally as many times as you want. Going back in time and setting an intention before you meditate or before you do the visualization to, I'm going to connect with my little Robin. I'm going to connect with my little self. That can be very healing and enriching, and that joy. And that's like a well of energy that you can drink from. And it's beautiful. Or you can use this moment to go back in time and connect and comfort. Let's say a scared little version of yourself. So many things. For the purpose of this, sometimes I will say future just because it's another type of experience. Yes. Where you can go and say, what does the dream scenario work look like? And of course, obviously there's connection here. It's a little bizarre that I also was in a desert.
I can't believe you were in the desert.
Yeah. Never. But there is something, like one time I was doing this with a group and I was swimming with sea turtles. There was another woman swimming with sea turtles. So it's interesting. That's what we call an astral vacation. That could be, leaving me aside for a moment, that could be really interesting, even as two women so connected career-wise, and maybe this place that you're talking about, maybe there is meaning that you two can discuss to why you both visualize this thing. And to me, it's a totally different way. It's just another way of strategizing or imagining what feels right. You can come at it from a very intellectual place, which I often do in business, but there's another way to come at things that are very playful, very intuitive, very fun, very freeing. But from that vision, you can glean very interesting information. So going back to your visualization, Robin, what came through that was some specifics that you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah. So for me, I started at that place where you're talking about, Karen. But then when I was getting more specific, I jumped to being more on the grounds there. We were shooting our show and I could see the different people around us with the setup. But then I could feel the magic of what was happening and how we were helping a person in particular. And I could touch the ground and I could feel, when you said grab something, I grabbed one of the rocks from, I gave a piece of my hair.
I never take anything without giving something back.
Yeah. I did that. And so I could look at that and I could look from in front of me and behind me. I could just see the rock formations there and that feel like that's where I was. But I could see that we had different setups. So at that moment, I was down on more the ground, but we had a setup above where you're talking. We had a setup in a room. That's where we were doing different shoots within the whole environment there. But I could feel at the time too what I was wearing, because at that point we were with the person we were helping and I was wearing more like exercise type clothes because it's not a typical shoot. So we were very much in it, going through a hike and actually being in nature and in that environment. And I felt like the breakthroughs that were happening and the magic that was around us, and that whole setting was helping what we were trying to achieve.
Wow.
It was magical and it was very real. And I saw you there, Karen. When you said look around, Karen was there. My husband was there. There were definitely other people helping make it happen.
Wow. And was there something that you saw that surprised you that was new information?
That's a good question. I don't know that it was new information. It was validation. This is real. This is happening. There was such a feeling of joy. My adjectives were grateful, excited, and honored. Those are my adjectives. And I just felt so overwhelmed with joy that this was actually happening. And I felt like I'm exactly where I'm meant to be.
So good.
So good. So in those moments, here's how a practical application of that, you are going to inevitably, both of you are going to be on a journey making that moment happen. And inevitably, there might be days which feel challenging or feel like this person is not receiving, whatever. They're going to be real life stuff. That's when you very much in particular want to go back to this experience in your mind's eye. Tap into the magic, drink from the well of the actualization that it's already happening. It's a done deal. It's almost as if you go to that place again, having a moment very intentionally, I would say the two of you, being able to find a rock, exchange your hair, bring that rock home. In a way, the rock becomes like an extension of wish beads. Maybe in your wish beads, maybe on the flip side or of the paper, writing Sedona or whatever, our show in Sedona. It's something that really you are there already. So those moments when you falter, the moments when you doubt, the moments when you're feeling like, oh, this is a lot. You have that as a tool to bring you back to the magic. You even actually bring that feeling before you have important meetings. You get yourself in that flow of that magic because it's all energy. We talked about high vibration. The two of you taking that moment and for 1 minute before an important Zoom meeting, and you say, okay, let's get to our place. We're already there. We see it. We feel it. Maybe you build a soundtrack that your Sedona soundtrack, maybe all of these tools, it gets you to that place because people are psychically feeling you out. So if you find someone that's in alignment and you're already in that energy, they're going to feel it too and be like, ooh, full body. Yes, let's go.
Yes.
Or they're going to be like, I don't think I get this. Yeah. It's not a right fit. No problem. Yeah. Next.
And I want to say one more thing to your point of, did anything surprise me? I think the one thing I would say is when starting out, when you said, look into the future, I love that then you're so close that you step into the picture. The picture that I saw was of me with my eyes closed, looking up and having the sun beating down on me. And I could just feel and see my own joy and happiness so that when I stepped in, it was me at that moment looking up at the sky with the sun beating down in this environment in Sedona at Enchantment. And that's when I stepped in, I could feel it. But what I saw was me with that sun beating down. And so I just have to say that to me was what got me in it.
Right. And I would say that's a power move for you. Meaning you could be in bed in the morning. You could step outside and it is a sunny, beautiful day. And you do that gesture. You can also do it in your mind. If that's a trigger for you, you wake up in the morning and instead of, oh, I got to start my day, look at my phone or whatever is the habit that happens, keep your eyes close, imagine feeling the sun on your face and literally wash yourself with that energy before you go to sleep and when you wake up in the morning.
Going to. Oh my God, you're making me cry. That's so good.
Yeah. Because we have to be our best cheerleaders. It's nobody else's job. It's our job to be our best cheerleaders, our wish granters, our magic makers, our unicorns. We're that. We're all that and peanut M&Ms. We're all of it.
Karen, I want to know you. What did you see?
Well, it's so funny because it's like I was saying, Alexa, I lost track of your voice in a way, which was so beautiful because it just really allowed me to be in it. And the transition point for me was the colors of what I was feeling around my heart. And I kept seeing the yellows blending with the oranges, blending with the pinks, with the reds, like it was all. And so when I placed that on the screen, it was naturally transitioned to this vision in Sedona, which is one of my favorite images. It is the essence of what we talk about all the time with the show idea we have. But I wasn't even thinking about it being the future. I wasn't thinking, it just literally appeared in front of me. And what was really fun for me, I really stayed a lot on that balcony overlook because the sun was actually setting and I feel like that's the most beautiful time. But every color that I was seeing was the reflection of those colors that were around my heart. And then what I saw was, I couldn't tell who it was at first. I was in this orange flowing gown and then I was joined by a group of women that were with me. And obviously one was Robin, and we were just literally all standing there hand in hand, looking out, same words, gratitude, abundance, and joy. We had gotten there. And then there was a part of me that was starting to doubt that it could be so real because it was just so freaking amazing. So when you asked to look to the left, I saw a tray of part of appetizers. I was like, oh, okay. So this
is nice.
Well, right?
Oh, good.
And what I realized was, because when I looked down, there's like a beautiful pool area and there was no one there. It was like we were all by ourselves. We had the entire place to ourselves, which I was like, how is this possible? But then I turned around and it was a huge group of people who were there helping us celebrate the launch of this thing. They were almost like in the dark behind us. It was a massive amount of people that were all there. Literally. So I think it was like the launch, like before we even got to where Robin's talking about, I think this that was the moment for me where it was like, oh my gosh, we're here. And all of the people behind us that had gotten us to that point, literally were there behind us. So it was,
That's so cool. It's so cool.
I actually wrote it down before you said a word. Cause I could, for some reason, I couldn't think of an enchantment resort. And I'm like, I gotta write it down. And lo and behold, I can't.
And we haven't talked about enchantment in a while. That's actually crazy.
Amazing. And I would say just even another little thing, that place that's so specific, that's so visual, find a picture either of the actual location, because it sounds like maybe there's some photography that they've already done and put that as your desktop image.
Yes.
Put it on your phone as an image, because this is also in the same way that wish beads are a visual reminder, the images that we see every day are imprints that we have. And so you can align yourself with those colors, even finding an orange flowing beautiful dress. These are little things that you can do, and it brings the vividness of what you saw, felt, and experienced along with visible reminders. Because in those moments where you're wondering, can we pull this off or is this going to happen? It's not necessarily, maybe you never have those moments, but it just builds momentum. You just get momentum and certainty so that you have confirmation.
That was a confirmation for us.
It felt like it. What did you see, Alexa?
I was in the desert at sunset. I don't know if I was in Sedona or where I was. And at one point when I looked to my left, there were people around. It was earthy. It felt enchanted, definitely. I was barefoot. I was wearing this gorgeous outfit, very gauzy. And there was a fire. There was a fire pit, some kind of fire pit
situation. There is a fire pit there.
And it just felt totally in harmony. It felt like a communing with the desert, but it was very desert oriented, which I had not seen ever. I'd never been in a desert space. And I've literally done this hundreds and hundreds of times.
Wow.
But it was very interesting. And there was music. There was also lights, the tea lights kind of thing. So they were in the distance. It felt like I was someplace. I wasn't just plunked in the middle of the desert. And there was a teal chair. So what I reached out to was this teal, like low lounger chair, which then when I looked to my left was around a fire pit. Kind of fire pit situation. It felt a little bit like this like chill, I don't know, sunset-y experience before the night kicked off. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was wild. Yeah. It was beautiful.
I can find a picture of the enchantment.
Oh, I'm going to totally look it up. I also think the feeling for me, and this is really always my lesson, I'm usually in a very grounded, quiet, even more feminine mode than I'm really accustomed to in my day-to-day. I'm really like a doer and a producer and a creator person. And I have to be so mindful as I move into this new mode of co-creating what I desire, the messages, because I use these visualizations for me like messages, like bring in more. I live less than a mile from one of the most gorgeous beaches in the world. But it's when my friends come that I go and enjoy the sunset. Yeah. And it was at sunset. So it doesn't matter that my visualization was around a fire pit in the desert, but I live next to the beach. When I go commune with sunset, that's a message for me. Bring that into your life, Alexa, right now. Be barefoot. Wear something flowing. Go and enjoy nature. Your brain is not going to tell you why that's a good idea. It's a flood of energy. And that's what I think in this visualization, that's what you get to drink from. What is it for you? It's not usual that the three of us all visualize the same thing. But for most of the time when I do this, I do these monthly virtual wish circles. People have very different experiences. They're in Paris. They're in a new home. They're unpacking boxes. Everybody's got a different deal that they're doing. And that's beautiful. Everybody has unique wishes. But you can look at your own with curiosity. And as we said, it's not the end all be all wish. It's just one moment that you're being seen so that it can empower you right now.
Exactly.
What would you say is something that holds people back?
Fear. Because a lot of people, it's what holds everybody back. Because they think, first of all, they're afraid to even see their wish because then they might be epically disappointed. But I would say not doing it, not naming it, not taking action, the fear of missing out, the fear of never taking action, that is far worse than just trying it. It's far worse. So what stops us is, you know, what they say, it's fear. But if we can look at it and we could say, okay, that's a little intimidating. I might do this wrong according to my head, but let's do it anyway and see what happens.
Yes.
Nobody is paying attention to us, by the way. We think that everybody's watching.
So
nobody's
true.
Watching. Nobody's watching.
No, because they're only paying attention to their own lives.
So in a way, sometimes you think nobody cares. No, it's liberating people.
Right.
It's wildly liberating. Go do your thing with curiosity and kindness to yourself and see where it takes you. Nobody's watching you.
Yeah. I think we have so many misconceptions too, back to where we started in a way with what a wish is.
Yeah.
And I think because we think of it so often as something that happens when you see a star in the sky or blow out your birthday candles, you think of it as a soft little moment as opposed to giving it the power that it could really have.
Yes. And translate wish to people. Like, we're full magic. Full-on magical beings. And we've been given a raw deal thinking that we don't have the power, that we are powerless to the changes on our planet and the politics and your kids and all of that. But when we radically wake up to the fact that, wait a minute, I'm the gatekeeper to my desires, to the life that I want to build, that's exciting and a little intimidating, but it could be fun. And didn't I come here to learn and experience and grow and be challenged? Yes. Yes, you did. So if we just embrace that and we start to say, oh, what's the best case scenario? What if we trained everybody instead of thinking of what's the worst case scenario, which is what everybody says all the time, flip that language and say, what's the best case scenario?
Yes.
What's the best that can happen? How would I feel? How would I show up? What would the impact look like on my family, on my community, on the world? What's the best thing that could happen from this? Let's go after that. Mm. And that's what I feel like I am beating the drum of possibility. And I'm doing it through jewelry and classes and conversations like ours that we're having today. I'm aligning myself with like-minded unicorns who want to put some of this energy out there because the alternative is not acceptable to me.
We could not agree more. And I want to also bring this back for you at the very beginning of our conversation. The play that you said you started in, Glimmer, Glimmer, Shine.
Yes.
Yes. I never thought of that. That's so funny.
Glimmer, glimmer, and shine. And I thought, how unbelievable. But that is
yes.
What you have done both for yourself and for hundreds of thousands of people.
That
millions.
Is so crazy. I have never in my life made that connection. Thank you for that.
I'm able to be a conduit
crazy.
For you.
And I normally don't even talk about that, but that was the catalyst that brought me out to Los Angeles.
You believe that? When you said that, I was like, does she realize?
No, that's crazy.
Wow.
Thank you.
About light and all of it. Look what you, how it started.
Yeah. So cool.
So Alexa, you were just starting to say about the classes and things that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So my classes, you can find my work at wishbeads.com, our intention setting jewelry. We also have on Instagram at wishbeads.official. You can find us on Facebook at wishbeads. So if you look up wishbeads, you'll find me and you'll find a lot of copycat companies, but we won't pay attention to them. That's where we are in wishbeads land. And then my other world is housed over at alexafisher.com. And my courses are primarily housed on... When my publishing partner is udemy.com. That's where I started launching my courses over a decade ago. And you can find all my courses there. And I also have a YouTube channel where I still publish videos and tips and tricks about helping people step into their confidence and communicate their messages effortlessly.
And we'll have all of these links in our show notes for everybody.
Terrific.
As well. I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, my sincere pleasure. You're my people.
And now that you're in the desert with us, we now know.
I'm already there.
Clearly, you are.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Everybody go check out wishbeads.com as well as Alexa Fisher.
It's Alexa, A-L-E-X-A, Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R.com.
Yeah. We cannot wait to talk more with you and do more with you. There's so much more for all of us to do together and for us to share all this incredible work that you're doing. And that is expanding. I love when you kept saying expanding that light. Your light is expanding so huge on this planet.
Aww.
So Thank you.
Thank you both. I cannot wait to see this show that you're creating, this movement that you're building, and really sharing your brilliant expertise and changing people's lives. And I'm just so excited that miraculously we connected. So it's fabulous. What an honor to be here.
All on purpose.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks.